All right, Ephesians 5. So don't forget, we just going to go straight into the deep. We already spoke about that the first part of his letter caters for what? Who we are in Christ and what God has done for us in Christ. But the later part of that Ephesians as a letter caters for what? Our conduct and who we are in Christ. Funnily, I was studying again the book. Of course, I've studied this for over 5 years now. And so I was looking at what we could do in the future concerning Ephesians. When I'm rounding up a teaching like that, I tend to look at it again and say, what did I miss? You know, what else can be taught? I'm not going to add it to what we already have in plan. It's just going to be for the future. Amen. Because we're still going to reteach it. And while I was studying again, I discovered that actually Ephesians was one of the generic letters of Paul. He didn't address it to any church. Of course, he wrote to the church in Ephesus. But I discovered it was later that Ephesus claimed it. Apparently, he spent more time with them than others. And so they just claimed it. And they were quite a big church, apart from Corinth. And that might have a tone on the theology. But that's not for now. Amen. So we started looking at Ephesians 5. And we said, verse 8, very important, is where our breath starts from. You were sometimes darkness, but you are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Can you tell someone who did that? Just read Ephesians 5:8 to the person. And say, do you believe that? Oh yeah, read it to the person. Say, are you walking as a child of the light? Answer. Is the answer sometimes? Sister, sometimes. As I'm walking in the light. Alright, so Paul is admonishing us, of course, the church in Ephesus, but by implication, every believer in Christ, that you walk in the light. Then, we already saw the conduct he spoke against. We saw that he spoke against maliciousness, bitterness, envy, you know, strife, anger, disunity, betrayal, you know, and covetousness, fornication, adultery, and so much more. And we said, the believer ought to watch his conduct. I remember last week I told you that your conduct is like your clothes. Right? I said that last week, right? That imagine bathing up. After bathing up, then you put on rags. You know, how would you feel? Cool? So, you've taken your whatever soap you use, and then your cream, and then all your whatever, makeup. I remember when I was younger in Teenagers Church, Pastor Bell used to tell us that people use makeup. That makeup is, you are making it up. That means you are down. You remember? Now that means you are down. That makeup means you are making it up. Now I'm not saying that. Amen. I love good makeup. Amen. Some people, if they don't use makeup, you will not be able to greet your neighbor. You say, ah, sister, why you look like this? You know, they have so much. The face you see every time is a makeup face. So when you see them without makeup, that's why when you want to marry, surprise people early in the morning. Just surprise. Say, no, give me 5 minutes. No. You are defeating the purpose. Come out now. Hallelujah. Alright, so Paul says you wear good clothes. So we said your clothes is your conduct, what people see. People might not be able to know whether you have had your bath or not, but cleanliness is seen in the way you're dressed. So, the same way, even though you are born of the Spirit of God, you are saved by believing in the gospel, but your conduct matters. I gave you an illustration last week of you go preach to someone, or someone comes to preach to you, right? Someone comes to preach to you, and then on his hand, you can find a cigar. No cigar is even of cigarettes. Cigarette is the small one of cigar. The cigar, the real big one. And then he goes, sorry, I might not get the gestures right. Yeah. I don't plan to. Then he says, for God so loved the world. Excuse me. And then you see, living sacrifice. Coming out from the nose, the ear, eyes, and every opening. In fact, maybe from the top of the head. And then, I bring to you the gospel of Christ. Christ died for sins. Oh yeah, in it. Christ died for sins, in it. Mate. And when he's done, you know, he must have preached the gospel, but will you believe? Is this your own Christ that is making you give up sacrifices like this? I don't want. Amen. So it just shows you that our conduct has a toll on the faith. Alright, so Paul says, walk as children of the light. Then we already have addressed how we spoke about the things of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. We spoke about especially psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I told you, watch what you sing. Watch what you sing. Sing in the Spirit often. I can sing in the Spirit. I think I've done 6 hours before. No, just singing. I'm not praying. I'm not interpreting it. I'm just singing in tongues. I think I've done 6. But I'm very sure I've done 4 many times. You know, and that's the life of the Christian. That's the life of the believer. Just go singing. Hallelujah. And it tells you that you can actually be full of the Spirit that way. And I told you how the things of the Spirit, why would he include that when he's talking about conduct? I told you how the gifts of the Spirit, when we talk about healings, utterance, prophecy, I told you how it can affect your conduct, right? Right? That rather than a lying tongue, you what? Prophesy, right? Rather than worrying, you sing in the Spirit. Rather than giving yourself to sorrow, you sing spiritual songs. Alright, so again, it affects our conduct. Then we look at marriage, or how Paul used the marriage, Christ and the church, to explain where our conduct stems from. So he says, you are going to love as Christ loves the church. And you are going to submit as the church is submissive to Christ. Forget the husband and wife. Take the love and submit. Amen. Amen. Again, that is enough for all our relationships. If I can love you and you love me back, then we will all walk in the Spirit. I always say that there is no specialty for any marriage. You're just going to be deceiving yourself and wasting time. You're going for counseling and everything. After everything, if you can both just be believers, I mean, not deceivers, amen? You are believers, it's enough for the marriage. Believers means you are going to forgive one another, right? Believers means you are going to let go of bitterness and envy and jealousy and strife and malice and anger and wrath. That's what believers mean. So, if I'm going to be actually a true believer, and whosoever I call my spouse is a true believer, then the marriage is working. Hallelujah. You don't need a special teaching for that. It's a total waste of time. Bullocks. Total waste of time to start teaching. And you know what? When your wife cooks, and you do this one. You know, when I see ladies who are fighting for superiority in marriage, you know, I've always told you I have nothing with the woman being the head of the house. I have absolutely nothing against it. What I just don't like is two heads of house. Choose one. We've seen cases where the woman is the head of the house. Amen. Remember? These guys are not serious. No, we've seen cases where the woman is the head of the house. No, it's nothing. But if as a woman, or as a sister in Christ, let's put it like that, because I'm not teaching unbelievers, you cannot allow your husband, then probably you never even loved each other in the first place. Because you, culturally, you know what obtains in your place. I'll just stop there. Don't listen to our teachings on relationships and all of that one. I tried. I've done like 4. Hallelujah. Alright, so, we said, Paul is saying that we should take our conduct from the union of Christ and church. The union of Christ and church should give us an inkling onto how we ought to act in our relationships. And so, we have seen that. Then last week we saw other relationships that Paul now catered for. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Again, can you see that if both the father and the child walk in the Spirit, the relationship settles. The child will obey the parents, the father will not provoke the child. Then we already have the gospel, the word working. But you now try to say family, kinikon, how to mend families. You are wasting your time. Fathers, just don't provoke your children. Children, just obey your parents. Amen. And then we saw in verse 5, Ephesians 6 now, I'm trying to go at the speed of light. In verse 5, servants, be obedient to your masters. Again, servant does not mean you are bought at a price. an employee, in this case, if you're an employee of a company, the Bible also teaches you how to act. It says, don't act with eye service. Verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. Again, I'm just going through what we have taught already. But as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the earth, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, he will receive the name of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Servants, masters too, don't threaten. Don't have respect of persons. Don't threaten. Don't have respect of persons. Treat everybody equally. Now, we said someone comes to mind, right? Joseph, right? Joseph is an example of all these relationships mentioned. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Servants, serve well. Master, treat well. Joseph embodies the four. Was a good father, was a good child, was also a good servant to Potiphar. When Potiphar's wife said, I love your lips, Joseph ran away. Amen. Amen. Some of you say, I love your lips, huh? Really? I didn't know. Oh, hands gone. don't mind my bad tongue. Oh, hands. Oh, hands gone. Ah, madam. You know, I've told you that running sometimes is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. You can add to it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, running. Hallelujah. Sometimes you run. I told the story of on campus, I was pastor, and a particular lady came around to the hospital, and it was being funny. She was something I could not recognize. Later I saw her enter. I stood up from my bed and I said, let's go out. No, not really that anything was going to happen. But it's just the fruit of the Spirit to run. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we saw Joseph run. Try not to run. So Pastor, me, I'm slow. Ah. You can't run in Jesus' name. Amen. Alright. So again, if you are also opportuned to be an employer of labor, since you treat those who you employ well. I think in just this part of the world, sometimes you feel because you're paying someone, you can just talk to them anyhow. That's not proper. That's not proper. What has brought you together is work. Nothing more than that. You have no right over the person's life. You cannot determine, you know. And so you stay within the confines of that. Oftentimes, as much as possible, now I have people that I've employed. I will still employ more people. Amen. It's a prayer. Because, you know, when you are employing, it's easy to just say hiring. It's when it's time to pay. Paying, we told. But hiring, green, yeah. So, you know, one of the things I try to do is not to look at people because you're paying them. Now I know you have your professional duties, you know. These are within the confines of your work. Then lay it there. I don't cross some lines. Except you are personal to me. There are people who are working with me that are personal to me. That's a different case. But if you're not personal to me, you just look at your KPI, call you for official meetings. Nothing more. I don't reach out to you. I don't call your wife. I don't ask for your children. I didn't ask after your children. Just come and do the work and go. Amen. You know, just to maintain that professional approach to work. Again, if you are a servant or an employee, don't let me say servant. Pastor, me, I'm not a servant in Jesus' name. You're not a servant. Okay. What are you not doing in that company? What are you doing? Okay, servant. Alright, so, civil servant. Private servant. You got enough private servant of your own. So employer of the week. Employee of the week. Servant of the week. That's what you are calling him. Hallelujah. So don't do it with eye service. Don't say you are going to church when your work is meant to close by 6. Why did you collect the work? Why did you take the work? If a work is meant to close by 6, why did you take it when you know you are going to go to church? Something else you could have done is negotiate with the HR or whoever was in charge or hiring the manager or something. You tell them from the start, my Tuesdays, my Thursdays, my social days, can I close by 5? Apparently, I even want this work to close by 9 to 5. Okay, I can start my own by 8. I probably have given some people that kind of advice before. How about propose yourself 10 to 6? I want to do 8 to 4. I'm still fulfilling the same number of hours. But you don't get in deceitfully and then I start pulling Jesus over the person's neck. And it's the Lord's work, sir. The fields are wide, open wide. Now this walk, they stop my light. No. Amen. You obey the rules. We are, you know, I was talking to the pastor and he said, this is the reason why we don't employ church members. He was frustrated. He said, this is the reason why we don't employ Christians. They will just be using Jesus to... Yeah, you can't use that one for me. I've shocked a member of our church before. He said he was going for outreach. I said, why? 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock at work on Monday. If everybody is here, he's going for outreach by 3 o'clock. You all will not get salary. It means I'll just go for outreach. On the day of your salary, I'll go for outreach. I said, no, sit down. He was shocked. What time is it? What time is everybody in your cell? Everybody in this life in your cell. What time did they go on their own? He said, I just want to do my own interview. On my own time? Amen. The pastor. Remember. Hallelujah. All right, so let's move on. So, Ephesians 6, 9. You masters, do the same thing unto them, for bearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally. Finally doesn't mean that that's the last thing he wants to say. It's an old English. It means henceforth or therefore. So you must have wondered, how can someone write finally and he's still talking? You know? It just means henceforth. Look at 1 Corinthians 4. You see the word finally there. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The word moreover there is the word finally or henceforth or therefore. Ephesians 4, 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 2. 1 Corinthians 7, 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives, the word it remains is the word finally too. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Therefore, they both that have wives be as though that they have none. Okay? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Finally, brethren. Philippians 3, 1. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Again, look at that. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Then he now wrote a lot of things. Then chapter 4, verse 8. He now said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are honest. So, you should know he's not talking, he's not ending his writing. What he's just saying is, I'm continuing in this same breath. So when he says, in Philippians 4, 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. He's saying that because he already told in verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men, be careful for nothing. Then in verse 7, the God of peace shall guard your hearts. The God of peace, the peace of God rather, which part of understanding shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Then because of this, brethren, whatsoever things are honest, put that in your mind. Does that make sense? 1 Thessalonians 4, I meant to gloss over this once. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1, Furthermore, we beseech you. The word furthermore is also the word finally. Alright. Because you know why I'm going through all of this? I've seen people just take that word finally and use it, like massacre it and just bring out a doctrine from it. It's really nothing. It just means I'm still talking. Does that make sense? Alright. You see the same thing in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may have a free course and is glorified, even as it is with you, finally, brethren. Alright? And he still wrote after that. Alright. This is in 2 Timothy 4, 8. Alright, so finally doesn't mean it's the last thing. It just means henceforth. So, why is he using the word finally? Back to Ephesians 6. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, 10. And in the power of his might. Why is he saying finally? Don't forget, he's talking about conduct. So he's saying, now, listen to me. That's what he's saying. He has spoken about, in chapter 4, he has spoken about how we must not be disunited. He has spoken about how we must grow by the word. In Ephesians 4:11, he said, he told us that he gave us pastors, evangelists, prophets, and teachers for the work of ministry. Then he said we are meant to grow through them. He has told us that it's still part of conduct. He has told us how we ought not to give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27. He has told us how we are not to be covetous or fornicators. He has told us to be children of the light. Ephesians 5. He has told us to be full of the Spirit. He has told husbands to love their wives and wives to submit to their husbands. He has told children to obey their parents. He has told fathers not to provoke their children. He has said servants to be obedient. and submissive, and not walking with eye service, he has told masters not to trust him. Then he says, now listen to me. Does that make sense? So after all those instructions, he now says, listen, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Don't forget, the first mention of power in Ephesians is in Ephesians 1. In verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power. And he used that. Don't forget, I've told you before that when you're looking at a book, when you're looking at a book of the Bible, recognize that it's a letter. It is not in chapters. It is a letter. One letter. Like this. So, if I mention power in my opening graph, my opening paragraphs, you should know that by the time you see power later, you will need to evaluate. That makes sense? So when it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Again, what is the power of God's might? The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Ephesians 1:19. The exceeding greatness of his power to us world who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. I mean, I'm reciting Ephesians 1:19-20 there. When he raised him from the dead. So, God's power is particularly seen in the resurrection of Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, above all principality, power, dominion, every name that is not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And has given him authority over all things, has given him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that is all in all. So God's power, listen very well, is seen in the resurrection of Christ. Say with me, God's power is seen in the resurrection. Alright, so when it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, what is the power of his might? The power that raised Christ from the dead. Simple. Alright, so be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, be strong in the Lord and power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, listen very well. I know you can take this one and go and use it to do deliverance service and everything. But primarily it's about conduct. Amen. Don't force things to talk about what they are not talking about. He's talking about conduct. Then he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you use flesh and blood actually means human understanding. Flesh and blood does not mean human beings. Don't forget, in Matthew 16, when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. That is, you did not know this by understanding, by human understanding. So when you say flesh and blood, it doesn't refer to, we are not fighting human beings. Sometimes it's human beings that you're fighting, actually. I'm just kidding. Alright, so, again, this is not about witchcraft. I know the first thing that your mind goes to is, hey, we wrestle against, Bible has said it. Bible has said it. We wrestle against flesh and blood. We're against spiritual wickedness. And you're pointing to someone. Again, yours is not to be bothered about who you are wrestling. Yours is to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Amen. Alright, so we're on track. So put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Interesting. The first person your mind will go to will be David. Put on the whole armor of God. And that fight with Goliath comes to mind. Don't forget, for every epistle that you are seeing is an explanation of the Old Testament. You know, as he's writing to them in Ephesus, they didn't have the book of Ephesians. So, the books they had were Genesis to Malachi. So, they have read Genesis to Malachi. His letters are like closing statements. Paul taught this church, and he didn't teach them Ephesians. So, when he says, the armor of God, he must have taken it from somewhere. Making sense? Is it making sense? And who fought with the armor of God? David. And we didn't see any armor on the scene. You remember? 1 Samuel 17. So, the Goliath came. He was going to destroy Israel. And Saul started saying, I have UN meeting. Isn't I have UN meeting? Goliath, who is he? And every one of them were frightened. And David said, I want to go and fight this guy. I'm in my element. I'm in a good mood. I want to fight this guy. And Saul said, I understand youthful exuberance. Amen. So I understand that as a youth, some things endear you. Amen. David said, I fought the bear, I fought the lion. Let me fight this guy. Then Saul said, the person I want to die, you cannot stop him. Okay, go and fight. But let me help you. Take my arrow, take my shield, take my breastplate, take my belt and my helmet. So that they will not say, your country did not empower you. Hallelujah. Then David, as he put it on, there was this. Then he put it away. Then he put on something else. I have come to you in the name of the Lord. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, he put on another armor instead of Saul's armor. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. So, what will be the opposite of it? Eh? Not physical armor. Put on the armor of man. Are you with me? Eh? Now, the word armor, meaning armor koko, the word armor is the word panoplia. P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A. P-A-N-O-P-L-I-A. The funny thing is that in the entire New Testament, it's used just 3 times. And out of the 3, we already seen 2 in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 11 and Ephesians 6, 13. So, something is used 3 times, and 2 times is already in 1 breath. Then we need the third one has to be very important. And the hierarchy of importance is so much thing that it's Jesus that used it. So, before Paul used the word armor, the only person that ever used it was Christ. And you know, whatever Paul taught, he taught from Christ. Don't forget, the way he taught the church in Corinth. Where he said, the night the Lord was taken from among us, he took the cup. And he was using it to teach them service and love. Abi? He was using it to teach them unity. So again, is this the first time Paul is teaching from Christ? No. In fact, all of his teachings. When he took the beast, shook it up to the fire, it's a teaching. Alright? We've looked at all of that before. He does the same thing here. Now, that word panoplia, the only time you see it apart from Ephesians 6 will be in Luke 11. Are you learning something this morning? Huh? Alright. So we are trying to close Ephesians. Luke 11. So, the background is, Jesus cast out a devil. Then, as he cast out the devil, in verse 14, as he was cast out the devil and he was dumb, it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spoke, and the people wondered. And some of them said, he's doing it by Beelzebub, the king of boys, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him, sought him a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and he said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against itself falls. If Satan also divides against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because I cast out devils, you say, through Beelzebub, the king of boys. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, would your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. Listen now. When a strong man keeps his place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor, wherein he trusts and divides his what? Spoils. So Jesus says, how do you defeat a strong man that has everything? He said, you have to take his armor by which he trusts. So, what is your armor? Your armor is what you trust in. What you trust in to protect you. What you trust in to guarantee you victory. What you trust in to guarantee you peace. He says, the moment his armor is still with him, his goods are in peace. But the moment you can spoil his armor, you can take away his armor. So your armor is what you trust. Panoplia. Alright? So, go back to Ephesians 6 now. So can you see that the scriptures are read together? See how we are able to explain the armor properly from the teaching of Christ. So you read together. So, go back to Ephesians 6 now. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. So, in better English, can we say, trust in God. Is that simple enough here? Alright. Let your trust be in God. Like David? Come on, is that like David? Alright. Let your trust be in God and in the power of his mind. You said the power of his mind is the power of his resurrection. Okay? Interesting. Let your trust be in God and in the power of his resurrection. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So, I think that verse 12 is almost like a caution. Caution to the intent that he's telling you that stay alert. You know, I've seen people who are born again, genuinely, they are born again. There's a way we used to call it. Born again, Holy Ghost baptized, tongue speaking, demon chasing, sickness healing. Amen. Have you met people like that before? Speck. Spiritual speck. And then, before you know it, they don't have control over their conduct. Before you know it, the guy is already proud. And he's just busting himself around. You know, before, as a pastor, you are just humble. Every new member, oh, you're welcome to church. Now, I only talk to, some members. What you don't know is that they are already wrestling against you. It's a battlefield. The entire Christian living is a battlefield. I've told you before, it's either the spirit or the flesh. You check your conduct, check your actions. It's either by the spirit or by the flesh. So it's a battle. But Paul is saying, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Interesting. So, it tells you that if you want to walk in God's will and plan, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. Don't forget, he has spoken about conduct. If you want to walk as Christ loved the church, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to be a good servant to your master, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to be a good husband to your wife, put on the whole armor of God. If you want to be, it is a good student. Amen. We'll be praying. You not read anything. I'm praying that angels will mark your paper. Odo, Agba, Odo. So if you want to be a good master, put on the whole armor of God. A good pastor. A good member. Someone who doesn't get angry. One who is not bitter. Exactly. So, put on the whole armor of God. Interesting. And the funny thing, let me say this one. I've seen people put this thing on. There are denominations that have been built on this. Amore. Belt of Truth. You know Amore? You know Amore? Okay? Belt of Truth. Helmet of Salvation. I've seen people dress up. And you're wondering, are you dumb? Are you not thinking? Did Paul himself wear helmet everywhere? The person that told you to put on a helmet of truth. A helmet of salvation, rather. Did he put on a helmet? Have you people seen people say that the helmet is scarf? And wear scarf to war. And see how much of an helmet it is. You are saying nonsense. It's a belt of truth. What my trousers are tight enough. The breastplate of righteousness. Nobody has explained that one. The same way some people have picked feet washing. In John 13, where Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. And they made a fuss out of nothing. Someone washed the feet of his disciples. Peter said, Master, I cannot wash my own. Jesus said, no, if I don't wash you, you are not a part of my kingdom. You think that for washing is water and flesh? No. That is, if I don't wash you by the word, if I don't wash you by my spirit, Paul later will now tell us that we are saved by the washing. Paul, to Titus. Yeah, by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Titus 2. So again, Titus 3:5, rather. So again, the washing, is it physical or spiritual? When Paul said, you are also like this before, but you are now washed. And you are wondering, when? And say, it's baptism. Choose one, baptism or feet washing. Because both were meant to just show you the same thing. You are washed. Amen. So what washes sin is not that physical feet washing. You are just wasting your time. And some people have even graduated it. They even wash with Fanta. I saw one Kenya church like that. Fanta. I don't know how stupid you can be. Sometimes because we are charismatic, we just think south-south. All your thinking is going down or left-left. How can someone bring Fanta? I say, if you believe. I don't believe. Just let me drink it. So there are things that you don't take. Put off your shoes. The ground where you are on is holy ground. So because of that, you are not wearing shoes again. I don't want to tell you what I did for someone one time. After I taught him, he did not believe. Don't go and do. And I pour glass on the floor. Oh, they, yes! He washed for the next 2 days. Do you not believe? Are you the one that what? That I was very young. But that one was clear from the start. Put off your shoes, the ground where you're on is holy ground. Put off your shoes is pay attention to the assignment. You are about to go a new way. And we thought this before. I'm probably even still teaching properly. By the time we get to Exodus. Put on your shoes. The ground where you are on is holy ground. You cannot now say because of that you are not going to wear shoes all your life. So in your company, when you are going to work, I don't even know. When you are going to work, you don't wear shoes too. They wear shoes. Okay? So your holy ground does not cover everywhere. Absolute nonsense. Amen. So I'm not expecting to go and sew armor of God though. What did we learn today? Pastors instructed us. Size 12. Armor of God. See, armor of God. Medium. Breastplate of righteousness. Never miss slim feet here. No. Again, it's idiomatic. Oh, I think that's the word we can use. Are you with me this morning? So don't go and throw any funny attire. Don't forget, last week we looked at the hidden man of the earth. The one who is not adored by gold. Or braids, right? But the hidden man of man is incorruptible. Don't forget, we looked at that last week. Abi? Eh? Uh-huh. So again, that hidden man of the earth is the one with the armor of God, basically. So Paul says, put on the whole armor of God, because you wrestle not against flesh and blood. What is he saying? He's saying, you can't fight the flesh with human understanding. You can't fight the flesh with self-willing. You know, you've seen people who want to serve God, they want to do the right things, but they feel, I can make up my mind not to do it again. Sometimes it works, but the results are not lasting. The only time you actually can do God's will is when you trust in God. You have to trust in the power of the resurrection. So, put on the whole armor of God, which that means to trust in God, right? As opposed to trusting in myself. Alright? So, put on the whole armor of God, we'll be trusting in God as opposed to trusting in myself. And to trust in the power of his resurrection. So, you can't fight the flesh with logic, with self-will. You fight in surrender. Don't take up an armor, use God's own. Like David. Don't take up an armor, use God's own. So, if you discover that you can't pray, you know, you can't pray like before. Now, you are giving to some strange thoughts, some strange thinking. What you should be doing is not yoga. A very curious to me when I was younger, I wanted to know what they were doing. The guy said that it will lift your spirit, not thin lifted. It's one for some people, I'm not saying that it's not a good day, okay? You know? So he said, you lift your spirit, you feel light. At the point, I was laughing at myself. I said, holy okay. What was this nonsense? Shameful posture. You know? And then you just pick up a shameful posture and say, let's go. And because you are trying to declutter your mind. No. Use the word of God. You are picking up a strange armor. Are you listening to me? So, he says, concerning your conduct, put on the whole armor of God. You trust in the Lord, not in the flesh. Paul says, don't fight in the physical. Therapy is nice, but let it work along with God's power. Amen. So I've been broken. I've been broken into pieces, into pieces, into pieces. The pieces have been broken into pieces. And my pieces, pieces. I don't know what to do. There are therapists that is even facing a worse thing than you at home. But he has to eat. So he will come to work too. Then he goes like this. All these things you say, not here. Even therapists, they think, my wife is in trouble. Therapist is going, he needs therapy. But, just goes.
The first thing I'll let you know is this is not peculiar. The first thing is to admit. Oh God, if I not admit, I'll be here. We did clinical psychology for about a year. Yeah, clinical psychology. you did it too at Yaba. You guys use clinical psychology. It's your sort of nonsense. Mental disorders. Actually, I read it. I have to pass the exam now. You know. In therapy, you can think about a younger you. You know, as you are thinking, he's thinking about his life. He's not going to give you assignments. Go and think. Think about that thing that you love. At the end of the day, you can employ your sister to do all these things for you. Amen. And I'm not invalidating anyone's work. Amen. Come on. No. It's a good thing. There are people who have substance addiction and all of that. And what I'm saying is, that should not be your trust. David went with a stone in the name of the Lord. Amen. So it's not like he just went there. Now I'm telling you, let the therapy work with God's power. Not all your trust is in Saul's armor. How do we get what I just said now? Yeah, have I put it in the balance well? Thank you. Put on the armor of God. Put on the entire armor of God. So, Pastor, I've been seeing a psychiatrist. Hello, here. Amen. Hello, she talk about long woka. Why am I speaking Yoruba? Oh, we are in October. Amen. What's wrong with you that the power of God cannot deal with? Say, Pastor, that's Pericoco. Oh, God, let Pericoco help your life. What are you facing? That Jesus did not face. Have you been crucified? Amen. With the age and technology, we'll come with the temptation to rely on everything else apart from the power of God. You must not fall into it. I'll say it again. With age, time, and technology, will come the temptation to rely on every other thing apart from the power of God. We already seen it. People who say, I don't need this one. I don't need, why should I go to church? I can always, don't fall into it. Take on the whole armor of God. Don't use Saul's own. So, the power of the resurrection is the one that kills the body of sin. Right? We have seen that so far, right? Romans 6. He said the power of resurrection is the one that deals with the body of sin. You learned something this morning? Come on, you learned something? Romans 6. There's no depression. The Spirit of God can snatch a man out of depression. Amen. There's no worry that the God Spirit cannot take care of. Don't rely on the flesh. So, Paul, having mentioned different conducts, probably the question came, Paul, how are you expecting me to love my wife? Okay, maybe we'll go for counseling. Says, wait. Put on the whole armor of God. Counseling is good. Counseling helps. But put on the whole armor of God. Amen. They say I have anger issues. The way you are even saying it, calm down. Pastor, no, they just say I have anger issues and I don't have. It's true, you don't have. You are the most gentle person I know. But I'm going for anger therapy. In the anger therapy, you will break both you and the person else. Let God's Spirit work in your life. Amen. Anger therapy, that's why even the therapist has anger issues. Now, because I went to school, when you are younger, when you see doctors are holy and their doctors are smoke. In German school, my roommate in my final year, sacrifice of praise. And now we attend to you too as a therapist. Therapist don't need both. Therapist only at you. Hey God. Therapist his own leg is not even working properly. I used to wonder here. I told him when I said one day you be a doctor, someone will trust your own counseling. I pity your patient. So sometimes when I go to hospitals, I look at the person very well. When I was going to do my medicals in Lutz then, when I was doing my house job, and I wanted to do my medicals. So I saw one of my I wanted to go so they run like overall medical tests for you. Everything's free, yeah. So one of you that signed the house job before me. Now, at A&E, Family Medicine, wanted to start. Why I look at him? He knows I know him from the hostel. I said, I beg, let someone else attend to me. You. He said, Pastor, no Alana. No Alana, no Alana. They dish me for you.
I don't need you. I just like myself. You took me. You can forget me here. I don't, I'm not even sure you graduated well. You probably cheated in class. I didn't tell him all of that, you know. And that's the person you want to go and trust. I'm not saying now, you now start looking at people somehow. Pharmacy, Shaman, Fagosa. I trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. So I said open to Romans 6. So the power of the resurrection is the one that takes care of sin. It's the one that helps our conduct. Romans 6 verse 1. Paul says, shall we then, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What a question. Remember I said, shall we continue in sin and say grace to abound? All this grace that you are saying, shall we continue in sin and say grace to abound? Then he answered the question now. Is it not so? Amen. God forbid. That is not going to happen. Because how shall we that are dead to sin? That's the answer. How shall we that are dead to sin live no longer in it? Live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Of course, in the believing of the gospel. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So, as Christ was raised up from the dead, we also now walk in what? In the newness of life. So, the power of his resurrection is what we trust in for conduct. In the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Can we read verse 6 to verse 11 together? Everybody? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. We should no longer have that sin. It's free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. For in that he lives unto God. Likewise! So again, he's saying, the newness of life comes from the resurrection. So you want to walk in pure conduct, you've got to trust the resurrection. So when he says, put on the whole armor of God, he's not asking you to go and get extra armory. No, what he's asking you to do is trust in the Lord. And he's going to tell you how to do it. Because sometimes, it might look somewhat cumbersome. It might look somewhat difficult to do something. And you feel, is Pastor actually expecting me to live this kind of life? How can I? Pastor, you know me, you know I cannot. I'm not even capable. Trust in the Lord. So I trust in the Lord. If we understand the resurrection of Christ more and what he has done for us, listen very well, we will walk in the newness of life. The old has gone, the new has come. Amen. And the new has come to stay. Amen. So I walk in the newness of life. So you see that in Romans 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should not be married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruits unto God. That means that we are now married to Christ, who is raised from the dead, so that we can bring forth fruits. Fruit to be conduct. Is fruit conduct? Galatians now, the fruit of the Spirit. Joseph, a fruitful bough. Abi? So fruit is your conduct. By their fruit we shall know them. So it says, we will bring forth good fruits. Romans 7, 4. We'll bring forth good fruits because we are now with Christ. So, what do I trust? I don't trust in my own logic. I don't trust in my will. I'm very resolute. How many New Year resolutions have you made? Remember New Year resolutions? You trust in the Lord. Amen. I say, thank God. I'm not even making anyone again. No, that's what I'm saying. I've told you that you now allow your trust in the Lord to work with. Does that make sense? Like David. Drop Saul's armor. Don't rely on it. Even though you are taking a stone. 5 stones actually. In case the first one does not eat Goliath. Back up. Amen. Romans 7, 6. But now we are delivered from the law. That being dead. Now, someone is writing and is telling you, I'm dead. Alright? Being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Galatians 5. Galatians 2. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? By the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me. You see that? The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So again, conduct must be taken from what He has done for us in the resurrection. So the resurrection determines our conduct. We don't trust in our own will. We don't trust in our own logic. We don't trust in the arm of the flesh. No. We trust in that Christ who told us that we are free from sin, so we walk in the newness of life. Amen. So we walk in the newness of life. Imagine a prince that never knew that he was a prince. You know what this Nollywood? Everyone does Nollywood before. Now they're easy to test him. Test who? Who are you testing? Why? Who sent you? The world wanted to build you for the throne. I am built for the throne. I don't suffer. Then they said, you don't want to know whether you are a true prince. What if I have died? Amen. So you must realize that you are a prince. You are a child of God. Galatians 5. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. You see that? With the affections and the lust. See what he just did? He told you, don't walk in the flesh. The works of the flesh, then says, walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is, and tells you, because you are Christ, you have crucified the work of the flesh. Is that the entire Ephesians 4 to Ephesians 6? Eh? Ephesians 4 to Ephesians 6 is basically telling you the work of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Then telling you, be strong in the Lord. That's what Paul just did in between Galatians 5:19 to Galatians 5:24. So it tells you the work of the flesh, tells you the fruit of the Spirit, and tells you why you can walk in it. Why? Because you are, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. So you, and they are taking on the Spirit. Amen? So walk in the Spirit. I walk in the Spirit. Come on, say I walk in the Spirit. Colossians 2. So our conduct is from the resurrection. You will believe that, you know what? He's working in me. You know we sing that song? He's working in me. He's working. The author of love, eternal life, is working. He's working in me. He's working in me. The author of love, eternal life. So, you know that he's working in you. So that's the first thing. The first thing is not to start sneaking on the arm of flesh. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. We trust in the name of the Lord. We don't rely on the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh shall fail. Surely. The arm of flesh shall fail. So the first is to realize that you are a child of God. And everyone who is a child of God is born by the Spirit. So there's a newness of life to me. Sometimes I don't see it now. But you know what? I'm working it out. Every day I am growing spiritually. Every day I'm getting better. So you trust in the Spirit's work in you. Is that clear? So I trust in the work of the Spirit in me. I trust in the work of the Spirit in me. My conduct is getting better. Every day. Everywhere. In every place. To every man. Hallelujah. Colossians 2. Verse 20. Wherefore, if you are dead with Christ, from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? He says, you are dead with Christ. To the world. Why are you now living like you cannot do without therapy? Why are you not living like you are a depressed person? Why are you not living sorrowfully? Why are you living like you are actually made to steal? Say no, you are dead to all those things. Never say, I can't help it. Never. Are you listening to me? Never give an excuse for walking in darkness. Never. I said this in 2018. Now when you give an excuse for doing the wrong thing, you have empowered yourself to do it again. When you do a wrong thing and you give an excuse for it, what you have just done is you have strengthened yourself to do it again. Every time. So the first thing is, you don't give an excuse. Don't say, I can't just help you. I know I'm a child of God. Pastor, I'm even tired. No! Amen. I'm born of the Spirit. I am born of the Spirit. Oh, born of the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of His glory. Full of His glory. Full of the glory of
Alright, Colossians 3 verse 1. If you then being risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ who is alive shall appear, we know we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consequence, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God come upon the children of your business, in which you also walk in time past when you live. But you have now put off all this, and anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Can we stand together? Put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that was. You see that? Put on the new man. So, I don't trust in the methods of this world. What do? I put on the new man. I say, if you are addicted to this one, what you do is that, you know, there's something called psychokinical, in the kinical area of the brain. There's this, neurons that relay. It relays towards the center of emotions. You know, there's the emotional part, the hormone, the serotonin. Okay? I am born of the Spirit. All these ones that you are saying, I just want to walk by the Spirit. Amen. I have complete control over my emotions. The Spirit of God determines what I do, what I say, where I go. I'm not without control. Don't always put yourself at the mercy of what worldly strategies and worldly help. And I'm not saying it's not good. For example, exercise is fine. If someone tells you, exercise so that you can get things out of your mind. No, it's fine. But you cannot now rely on exercise and say exercise is where you get things out of your mind. Amen. You've got to trust in the word sometimes. Hallelujah. You've got to just trust in the word sometimes. You've got to just trust in power and prayer. Hallelujah. Alright. Let's do one more. Or two more. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Who is on bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Again, healed from sin primarily, right? We have looked at that many times. Again, Jesus healed on the cross. He healed us from sin. I think I taught it, was it that a prophet? What teaching was that? Where he said, there's healing in salvation, and there's casting out demons in salvation, and there's interpretation of tongues, interpretation, design of spirits. What teaching was that? Why are you looking at that, Judas? I'm looking at you, I'm looking at someone else. Even, but you remember what I'm saying, but you just don't know the teaching. It makes two of us, it's fine. Alright, by the time you finish this UJC media, one day, one year like that, you just hear it. Let's go back to 2022. By then, probably 249,000. Amen. Alright. 1 Peter 2. We read 1 Peter 2, 24. 1 Peter 4. Yeah, 1 Peter 4. Verse 1. For as much, can we verse 1 together, everybody? Want to go? As Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same. For he that suffered in the flesh. Verse 2. That he no longer should live to the lust of men, but what? So we live to the will of God because we are actually like Christ. In his death and his resurrection, we have been empowered to live to the will of God. Does that make sense? Come on, does that make sense? So he now tells you, put on the whole armor of God. So you understand what it means to put on the whole armor of God now? Huh? Sometimes you have read that place and you don't even know what you're saying. Put on the whole armor of God. Trust in what God has done in his resurrection for you. Put on the whole arm of God and the power. That is, in the power of his might. Which is the upper balloon megatos. Amen. The exceeding greatness of his power. Ephesians 1:19. So basically, let's go on. Ephesians, go back to Ephesians 6. That's where we're coming from. Finally, my brethren, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. There's no need to be explaining all these ones. The principality is on power. There's no, absolutely no need. If there are teachings where you can now pick it one by one, not this one. This one, conduct. Amen. Against the rulers of the kingdom of this world, against which I have kindness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand. Stand therefore. That's what I'm saying. He says, stand therefore. Alright. So he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. And having your breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Amen. So he mentions things. If you are a good student of the Bible, you know what you'll be throwing away? Breastplate, belt, and you'll be focusing on what? Truth, righteousness. That makes sense? Uh-huh. So having yourself guard about with truth, with righteousness, with the gospel, faith. That makes sense? Salvation. So, again, that is what you will now trust in. That is now the armor. So rather than trusting, there's this mental health plan clinical. I'm not saying it's bad though. Don't forget that I've vindicated myself, right? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying I'm saying it doesn't work. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you don't put your trust in the flesh. We've seen people go through therapy and eventually, after about some years, they come back again. That's it. You know, he has an history of. The devil just gave you breathing space to go to somewhere else in Thailand. He has come back. And when he comes back with seven more demons, mightier than him, stronger than him. Amen. That's the way it works. So you can't trust in that one. You can't trust in the therapist. The therapist also must trust in the power of God. Amen. Do we have Christian therapists? Yes, now. I don't think gospel therapists too. I mean therapists who are Christians. You say, Pastor, there are Christian therapists. I'm a girl for one. You know, I'm saying, both the therapist and the therapia and the therapist should trust in God's power. Hallelujah. He gives the perfect conduct. All this, make a list of 21 things that you don't do well. 21 things that you do well. Now, you're going to replace 21 things, other. I don't have 21 things I don't do well. Why do you think of me like that? Hallelujah. Amen. So, put on the whole armor of God. What are you going to trust in? You are going to trust in truth. You are going to trust in righteousness. What God has done for us. You are going to trust in salvation. Is it making sense? You are going to be faithful. Again, he now summarizes everything as what? The sword of the Spirit. So it gives you an attacking edge. He said the sword of the Spirit, praying always. So basically the entire armor of God is the word of God and prayer. Without further ado. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God praying always. The word of God and prayer. You find faith in God's word. You find the truth in God's word. Righteousness we see by the word. Amen. Amen. Salvation is in those words. So again, it now summarizes the entire armor. What do you trust in? The word and prayer. So you ask yourself, am I walking by the word? Not just in conduct sometimes. Not in the seeming bad conduct. Sometimes, in anxiety and worry, in much sorrow, are you walking by the word? Are you trusting? You know, some people say, I'm looking at all these kids, comedian, say, to take away my sorrow. Really? Skits. You've not heard people that just made someone laugh now go commit suicide. You've not heard it before? At the time I was outside the country, and it was a story that I heard from someone. And they were talking about this particular lady, how that at work, the day before that, at work, she was still telling everybody, see you tomorrow, you know, and she was jovial, she even bought everybody something. I said, she comes there suicide. Nobody had an inkling that she was going through anything. She masked it so well. And you now go, this is my joy giver. Sometimes some people, my boyfriend, joy giver, your boyfriend of how many days? The pillar that holds your life, suddenly. At least allow this cement to dry. Before you call him the pillar that holds your life. We don't trust in the armor of flesh. We put on the armor of God. Amen. The word of God and prayer. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? There's no conduct, there's no ill will that it cannot deal with. I've seen people change totally by God's word. I have seen it. I'm not telling you. I've seen it. People that I still know that their lives turned around because of God's word. God's word has the capacity to make you what it talks about. God's word has the capacity to make you everything it talks about. If it says you are holy, it has the capacity for you to live a holy life. If it says you are not a liar, it has the capacity to make everything it talks about. Can I have an amen? So, don't navigate life on your own. Put on God's armor of victory. I don't give up. A lot of people just give up. You know, this one is part of my life. This one is part of my life. I cannot help it. No! What you have done is you have given the devil more room to bring in more vices. Have you noticed? Someone who starts with telling a lie, just to escape this one, he will tell a bigger lie. Before you know it, he doesn't have an issue with lying. From there, he doesn't have an issue with cheating. Because he's already a liar. He already has the weapon for cheating. Amen. From cheating, he can now start thinking of killing someone because he cheats. He cheats people and he doesn't want them to find out. One will now lead to the other, building blocks for the evil one. Amen. So don't, I love the way Roman puts it. He said, of all the armor of God, there's none for your back. Hallelujah. None. You can't turn your back on the devil. You can throw in the towel. You can say, no, this is my own life. I'm just depressed. I know it sometimes you come. No! From depression, suicide, we enter. Hallelujah. There's no armor for the back. You've got to stand strong. That's what Paul said. He said, that's why he said, finally, he gave it a breath. Be strong in the Lord. He gave it a breath. He said, I know I have spoken about many things in this letter. But listen to me. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Trust in the Lord. Is that trust in the, is that Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your might. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, he will lead and direct your path. Proverbs 3:5. That's exactly put on the whole armor of God. Are you with me this morning? You have to be strong. No backing down. No turning back. Just the word of the Lord on the go. Amen. He puts you on the attack. He says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God praying always. Amen. He puts you on the attack. He puts you on the attack. The word of God praying always. Amen. So you use the sword of the Spirit. This week, next year, you use the sword of the Spirit. Praying always with the word. You can't take away prayer from our victory over the flesh. You can't take away prayer from our victory over the flesh. You know, some people roll over for the devil because they don't pray enough. Let me say this. When you take away prayer from your life, you will, some of you have found out what I'm saying. You will discover that some strange habits have started entering. Some thoughts. You know, just don't find out that. If you are very truthful to yourself, you discover that I don't need to think like this before. Before, if I think this kind of thought, I would have rebuked myself. Before, if I do this kind of thing, I would have felt remorseful. But because you don't pray no more, because you don't even have hours and times of prayer, you know what sets in? Bad conduct. But that's not you. That's not you. That's not you in the name of Jesus. How do I trust in the Lord? How do I put on the whole armor of God? The word of God. You can't be a believer. See how Jesus did it. In Matthew 4, when he was tempted, he said, will you turn this stone to bread? Mm-mm. He said, it is written. That's how you navigate conduct. Is that clear? That's how you get rid of nonsense thoughts. It is written. I told you, you don't fight thoughts with thoughts. An evil thought comes to your head. Don't start thinking, say, I want to fight with thoughts. No! You fight thoughts with words. Are you listening to me? Every thought was a word. It's an information someone said to you. An information you read. There's no thought that generates on its own. It's something that must have settled on your mind. So, every thought came by word. You fight it that same way. You speak. No, I'm a child of God. I'm walking by the Spirit. I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
I'm not giving to evil thoughts. I'm not giving to nonsense thoughts. My mind is clean. My heart is pure. So you fight thoughts with words. So he says, how do I put on the whole armor of God? Trust in the word. I'm praying always. Say, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit with perseverance. Amen. Praying always. He didn't give us the prayer point. He just tells us praying always. Amen. Just pray always. When you lack prayer power, you open yourself up for unnecessary vices. Don't give the devil any room. Don't give him any room. Pray well. Pray well. Praying always. No particular prayer point. Just say pray. Just pray. Just pray. He says, praying always, don't be as a person. Watching with all perseverance. You know what perseverance means? And some people say, longer prayers is not it. Someone said persevere means you pray 2 minutes. Huh? You didn't persevere means 30 minutes. If you wait 30 minutes for someone, that's not perseverance. He says, that's how you get rid of some things. You want to walk with the Lord? You want to fulfill perfect living, Christian living in Christ. The word of God, praying always. Is that clear? So you be given to prayer. Not just when we have corporate prayer meetings. Not just your prayer groups. Not just your prayer vigils. But given to a life of prayer. Train yourself with it. Start yourself out. If it's 10 minutes, you can start out with start praying. And don't have a prayer point. Some people with prayer points have destroyed their prayer life. I told you on Thursday, if you have to always have a prayer point to pray, you don't know what prayer is. You don't have a prayer life yet. I've been in a meeting where we prayed for over 24 hours and there was no prayer point. No, it was not. Yes, 24 hours. 2014. It's a UNILAC. No prayer point. Not one. That was how many? 8 years ago. Yeah. I just pray. Hours. Is that 6 p.m. on a Friday? Then 6 p.m. on a Saturday. You ask me, and I go back to the and you ask me, what do you pray about? I don't know. You just pray. Amen. Those are effective prayers. You will start doing God's will. Because you didn't box it and say, hey, this is what I want. No, this is what I want to do. No. Oftentimes I just go pray. When I'm done praying, I now know what to talk about. And I know what to say. And I know where the direction we are going. I don't go with the direction. I just pray. When I pray, direction comes. There are times where I have to teach something in church. Normally, where I set out for the year is, I already have everything we're going to teach for the year. And the next year, 3 years, child, we always have it. So everything is always. And sometimes, after praying, I just know that we have to teach something now. So sometimes some people say, Pastor, that was for me. Well, I didn't know. Say, as though you are just talking to me. I've talked somewhere before, and 7 people said, you are talking to me. I said, God was talking to you. I just prayed. So I'm like, that pastor was talking to me. And probably I don't know what I was meant to teach that day. So I just, you see, that pastor just saw this thing on Sunday. Is that thing right now? I know what to do. But that was not what we were meant to teach. And except you pray, but if you are done with the prayer, but what you are just saying is, as I teach about Ephesians on Sunday, as I teach about Ephesians, people are blessed. No. God has his own plans and they are blessed. So you go with prayer. Just pray. You just wake up and pray. The minister of gospel, you have more than a prayer. In fact, Just praying itself is a prayer point. Just pray. When you pray, Pastor, is that, what will I not be thinking? Pray, thinking. You understand it's unfruitful. Amen. If I pray in the spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray by the spirit, my understanding is unfruitful, but my spirit prays. Amen. The moment you know what you are saying, I say, Master, bakalaya. Okay, bakalaya. That's not tongues again. The more gibberish, the more supernatural. Hallelujah. The more you don't understand it, the more supernatural it is. But what you must not stop is to stop praying. How do we put on the whole armor of God? The word of God, praying always. In prayer, there is fellowship. In prayer, there is victory. So, we are not giving any room to the devil. Amen. We put on the whole armor of God. No room. Not one inch. We walk by the Spirit. No flesh here. No strategies, no gimmicks, no worldly. Nothing. Just the word of God. The armor of God everywhere. And our victory is sure. We will stay undefeated. We will walk in God's plan for our lives. You know, we are on the winning side. And with prayer and the word, we will stay in the glory of God. Can we just pray for ourselves this morning? No prayer points. You are just praying always. See how you have studies to stand. Pray! Praying always. It's the armor of God. There are battles won in prayer that are unknown. Victories that we have in the place of prayer that we never phantom. But we win anyways. Prayer sort us out. Sort us out. Prayer puts us in the will of God. So we just pray. Don't stop taking the evil sacrata. The end of God. Echo Basham, Delecation. Kira Barade, the Sopra, the Yeda, and Gasta Salaba. Echo us. As Joseph Maden, the Lekiba, the Tosa. Raymondo, Celebakia, the Barra, the Son. Echo the Sada, Lapa, Tajena, Makapura, the Son. He brought those to pray, he can still tell them about the kiddos. And Sata, Akava, be a said that. Scopere Manele, go stop, Rebedeva, to keep the Balabatosa. Hekura to stop for Delekepe, Imoratos, Imatan, Hekon, and Philippe, Tinevo Tombra, Imoro Stepre, the supper, the car, temple to them. Riba the verse in the one delegate bosta. Riba the choice of the beginning of the world. Riba the beginning of the world. Riba the beginning of the world. Put on the whole armor of God. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God praying always. Begone the sin on the Kepanda, and stop the Badia, the Bush, the Badia, Mateleke, Nepes, Sombra, Badaba, Ekora, Dosha, Badaba, Rebel, Keep praying. He is the sword of the spirit. You are on the attack when you pray. You are on the attack when you pray. He says that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. That you might be able to stand against the arrows of the enemy. He says the sword of the spirit, praying always. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. Praying always without prayer and supplication with perseverance. The scripture says the fervent prayer of the righteous man makes power available. The fervent prayer of the righteous man makes power available. Dynamic in its working. Stop,
Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. We trust in the name of the Lord. Yeah, man, somebody like that. We trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. He goes and bless the Father, let's meet the Father. You know, you can bless His name. Paul says that when we sing with other tongues, he says we give thanks well.